And we are back with the Johnson Sisters Unfiltered!
Unfiltered!
We know you missed us. It's been a whole week since you guys have heard from us. I know you missed us. So today, we have a really fun topic.
We do.
I think it's an interesting one. Yeah, so what we want to talk about today is how we reclaimed our voices. And what I think is really interesting is I think we've been very different humans since the beginning, right? And how we expressed ourselves. And, you know, Laura, this is something you know, but our listeners might not know, is that one of the things that I've been kind of unraveling recently is a lot of people-pleasing, you know, stuff, right? There's a lot buried in me that I will say yes, 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 even if it's overgiving, even if it's not what I want, even if it whatever, and then I'll blow up, right? I always get to a point where I blow up, but like I will really overgive until I get to that point of complete depletion.
And don't forget, sister pleasing.
And sister pleasing. Yeah, you don't help. You don't make it any easier. You don't make it any easier.
But you don't blow up for me though.
Well, no, what I always really kind of respected, although I will say not at the time. I think that I didn't recognize it in you at the time, but you've always had a give no fucks attitude. Like you've always had I am going to do it my way. You know, if there's rules, I will operate within the boundaries as long as they work for me. But like, I'm not going to just bow down, right? Like I'm not just going to, you know, whatever, just do what you say. Like, I need to really understand why it is that I'm being, you know, doing what it is that I'm being told to do. And so, of course, when we're younger, that's not something you necessarily respect or see in someone. But as I get older and now have, you know, been trying to unwind a lot of this, it's something I really see in you and, like, envy a little bit. Because I'm just like, how would you just walk around, like, no fucks given? And here I'm just, like, it would deeply upset me to not do things that people expected of me.
There's a downside to it, though. So, I mean, as much as you say you envy me for that, there is a downside to it. I would say it's more like you kind of lose your soft. Like, you're very – okay, this doesn't sound bad. I don't really mean, like, you're soft, but I just mean, like, you're soft-hearted, right? Like, you care so deeply, and, like, you care about their feelings more so – for me, not that I don't care about somebody's feelings, but because that's how I am, it's hard for me to make it softer because it's like, that's how I am.
Yeah.
So it's like that battle of like trying to say it the nicest way possible, but sometimes I just don't have, I can't, like, it's hard for me to do that. So I've actually been working a lot on that too, as much as you've been working on trying to be more like me. I'm trying to be more like you.
That's so interesting. I didn't realize that's something that you were kind of thinking about or going through. And I can definitely see, you know, that perspective because it can potentially maybe come off harsher. But what I love is that it doesn't, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You hold your boundary. You hold your line. You're really, really good at holding your line, regardless. And even if it doesn't come out the right way, even if it's not, you know, what the other person wants to hear, that's your priority. And I think that's super important. Like, I think that's one of the biggest things I'm learning is not that people's feelings don't matter, like you said, but they can't be the priority all the time. They definitely can't be the priority all the time over my own feelings, right? Correct. And there's a time and place for when maybe you do want to sacrifice or you do want to, you know, make that call, but that really has to come from something deep in you wanting to give and not something that you just feel like you're expected to do, right? And, like, you may really not, understanding the difference.
Right, and you may not even have any in the tank to give. If you, you know, for me, like, I perceive you as you give and you give and you give and you give, and you can only give so much until your tank is empty. I mean, I use this analogy with Brayden all the time, when it comes to, you know, different things. Like, you can't just take from somebody, right? Constantly. In order to receive from somebody, you have to give and take. Like, it has to be a give and take relationship. And I think, you know, over the next few episodes, I think you'll hear a lot of just how you and I had to balance that out, because I do really think that that's a balancing act. like understanding of when your tank is empty and like when I need to start giving to you. And then when your tank is full, okay, give it to me. Okay, give it to me.
Yeah, it's like, I need from now. Easy to overcorrect, right? Like on the flip side, it would be easy for me to go to the far end of the spectrum and say, I'm giving nothing. I'm pouring everything into myself. I'm not, you know what I mean? And it is this balance. And it also depends on who you're dealing with. Yes. And this is something that's come up a lot in my relationship now is there is no 50-50. Sometimes I have 80, you have 20. Sometimes you have 80, I have 20, yeah. Right? And it's figuring out how you come together and get as close to 100. Sometimes we both have 20 and we're like, fuck, right? Like, so it's finding that way of, you know, knowing what you can bring to the table and mm-hmm. knowing what the important people in your life also maybe need support in and where you can support and what you have. And I think learning what's in the tank is my biggest lesson.
Yes. Yes. And I always tell you all the time, even in your relationship, you know, you can only give so much. And we've talked about that quite a bit, you know, actually recently around your tank is basically empty. Like you need it to be filled up before you can give anymore because you get to a point in my not you like generally, but I mean people in generally, when you get to an empty tank, you can't give anymore. Like you're literally drained. You're literally drained and you don't know what to do. And then that's when you start to get into a funk and you can get depressed and all of that. Those different things, like you start, you know, your head starts spinning. So you definitely need that receiving piece in order to even be able to give.
Well, and being comfortable asking for it, and being comfortable open to receiving, like all of that is extremely uncomfortable when you're used to just, because giving is also that kind of active response. It's not even always just coming from a sweet place. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. the most comfortable place, right? Yeah. And so it's, you know, really understanding how to sit with that a little bit and get more and more comfortable with it.
You know, it's funny you just mentioned, so it's being comfortable, you know, asking that question, right? Or asking for something that you need. Cause I remember this, time, and it's funny cause you say, I'm the one that's like, doesn't give a fuck, you know, that's kind of how I am, which most of the time that's how I am. But, you know, I always wanted to play like club volleyball, or I would have loved to play like basketball earlier age. Like I would have loved to do sports before getting into middle school and high school, but we weren't ever able to do it. And so I brought it up to mom because you were able to do club volleyball, and I still hold her accountable to this to this day. But she mentioned it's because I never asked. And she's right, because I didn't feel comfortable asking. So I wasn't able to receive that, right? And you were given that because you asked. So I feel like as much as you say that, I do think you don't have a problem asking. I mean, maybe you felt comfortable in that situation too, but you asked for that and you got it. And I didn't.
Well, I definitely think it depends on kind of the context, because asking for something like, you know, especially asking a parent for something like that, like a coaching situation, I think that's a lot easier than maybe asking your partner for something really vulnerable that you want or need from them. That, and you know, you're in a different context. Like, I think there's somewhat of an expectation that you should be able to ask your parents for things, but they might say no, right? You can ask them, but they might say no. Whereas I think when you get into more of the adult relationships, and not even just, you know, romantic relationships, even between, you know, us or a close friend, right? Like, you have to bear a little bit of yourself to ask for what you need. And there is no hiding behind anything, right? Like you have to kind of stand behind whatever it is that you want or whatever it is that you need. And sometimes it's just uncomfortable for people. Like people aren't always just comfortable asking for things.
Yep. That's true.
Or defining it, I guess. Also knowing what that is. I think you have to spend some time with yourself also to really know what it is that you need for yourself.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. So how would you say that so I know that you're going through the process right now, but how would you say that you, like, when did that process start for you and like just reclaiming your voice? Like, when did you get that? Okay, I'm going to have more of this, like, I'm going to stand up for myself, because that's really what you're doing. which is what you should be doing. Like, when did that all start?
I got tired of, like, saying the same thing where I felt like people were pulling from me from all angles. Like, I felt like I was constantly depleted, and I got tired of saying, like, I'm constantly exhausted of giving so much. And then I had to, like, take ownership of that and realize that, like, it is my responsibility to decide how much I'm giving. Like, people will take, and that's not necessarily even because they're bad. It's just because there's different boundaries. There's so many different people, and people have different needs and expectations and all these things that, like, you have to be the one to set that line. And I think it was just me being fed up with constantly feeling drained and feeling like I was had an empty tank, like you mentioned, and felt like people weren't pouring in. And I was looking for a while outwards and saying, you're not pouring into me. You're not pouring in. You're not doing this. You right? Instead of flipping it around and saying, instead of me pouring all of my energy into all of this, how about I pull a percentage of that back and really make sure that every single day I am doing things that I love? And same thing what you were, you know, kind of doing of setting those boundaries of things that, like, if you want to, you're happy to do it. But, like, you're going to hold your boundary. You're going to hold your line if it's something that you're not happy to do or you don't want to do, you're not comfortable doing. And that's really where I had to kind of get to, was getting more and more comfortable with, A, understanding what do I enjoy? What am I doing for my own enjoyment versus what am I doing because people expect me to? And then, like, pulling that apart and doing more and more of the stuff that I enjoyed. And a lot of the stuff that I enjoy is maybe still giving back or providing or whatever, but I'm doing it because it deeply fulfills me rather than me feeling expected, which then can result in resentment, I think. So, like, that's really been the exercise.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, you mentioned many people are pulling from you. Those many people don't know that those many people are pulling from you.
Yeah.
So you, as the person that's getting pulled, has to be able to balance that and understand, yes, I can only give so much, and I've already given to you and you, and I can't give to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I should always be the one that you give to. Me and Brayden.
You know what that just reminded me of? I don't know why. I just got this visual of a breaker. Like, you plug in the blow dryer and turn it on. It was like the last thing and everything shuts down. Like, that is like the same thing, right? But, like, the blow dryer didn't know. 100%. The blow dryer didn't know. Everything else was on.
But miraculously, Laura's still on.
Yeah, exactly. Laura's got a generator of her own, all right?
Hey, I am a generator. Didn't you tell me I'm a generator?
Energizer bunny now.
I am a generator. And Brayden, too. Brayden and I will always be on all the time.
No, he's not. He's a projector. You keep trying to make him a generator. He's not a generator. He's a projector like his auntie.
Goodness gracious. Okay, fine. You can have him.
See,
I mean, you can have that.
Come down different.
You can have him.
Genetic lines.
Exactly.
Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap it up with that.
Yeah.
With that fun little out statement. But this was an interesting topic, and I like kind of going deeper into that mindset work as well, and how we think about different things. And I think we'll see more of that in future episodes. So until next time, subscribe.
Subscribe.